Headlines from the Montgomery Advertiser Newsroom. I'm Wendell Jay. A brawl at Lee High School yesterday afternoon. Multiple police vehicles on the scene. Six students initially taken into custody. Add to that three more students arrested. And to that roster, two parents arrested. Charges are pending. Injuries were minor. Darius Thomas sentenced to 85 years in prison yesterday. He pulled the trigger at Centennial Hill. Thomas pled guilty to three counts of murder. The mothers of the three victims spoke before sentence was passed. Shirley Thomas, mother of Doe B, said she forgave Darius but wanted justice to be served. And a Deedsville woman facing multiple charges, including rape, and she has admitted to having sex with a 13-year-old boy. Jennifer Rose Ingram, age 31, charged with three counts of rape, two counts of sodomy second, and one count of giving a controlled substance to a minor. That's headlines. I'm Wendell Jones.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Almost everyone has a pet, or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Shop Lowe's and save big this week with great deals to update your bath or get organized throughout your home. Now get up to 25% off select bath faucets and make your bath shine. And if your New Year's resolution is to get organized, Lowe's can help and help you save with 18-gallon totes starting at $3.98. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Faucet offer valid through January 17th. Tote offer valid through January 31st. While supplies last, see store for details.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Thursday. T-G-I-F-E, 272-9228. First-time callers, need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. Plus, you can get your name in for the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. Very few people are in on this list. Just call us, say something, and then ask to be put in. Well, we have the Secretary of State, our good friend, John Merrill, on the phone. John, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hello, Dan. I hope y'all are doing well today, my friend.
We're doing great. Congratulations on the judge dropping the suit.
Oh, my goodness. That was just remarkable. We were so pleased. We did not expect that to take place. We did expect to win in court. We felt like the facts were on our side. We knew that the information and the empirical data that was available for anybody to review objectively would agree with us on our position about the need for voter ID and about what we were doing to ensure that each and every eligible U.S. citizen that's a resident of Alabama is registered to vote and has a photo ID. The judge confirmed that. The judge validated our position, said that anybody in the state of Alabama that wants a photo ID will be able to get one without any problem whatsoever. And he said that based on the empirical data that was introduced to him from the prosecution and the defense.
Oh, wow.
So that was really just, it was a win all the way around, Dan.
Well, let me tell you something, John, this speaks volumes about you, is that what you did is you thought through this thing, and you made it open architect so anybody could get in there, and that's why you've won in some of these other states like South Carolina and then the new voting redistricting of North Carolina. That's crazy there, but these other states, I mean, you did it the right way.
Well, we only know one way to do it, and that's full steam ahead, making sure that we meet the needs of the people of Alabama, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, whether they're black or white. It doesn't matter what the issue is, Dan. We think it's important to meet the needs of our people in ensuring that they have the right to participate in the most precious right we have, which is the right to vote.
Let me ask a question that was asked to me. Who represented you in court?
Well, we had the Attorney General's office, and we had our chief legal counsel working together to make sure that we were prepared to do what we needed to do.
Was it a contract person with the AG's office, or was it an AG attorney?
No, sir. It was just an assistant attorney general that was assigned to the case.
When and help the audience kind of get this in their mind. When you were first confronted with this lawsuit, how did you and the AG's office come up with the strategy of what to do?
Well, we just sat down and talked to them, and we said, look, what we want to do is we just want to introduce the facts to them. We want to make sure that they know our position, that they know why we've done what we've done, that we're not trying to hide anything. We're trying to make this opportunity available to each and every individual in the state of Alabama, and then we'll let the chips fall where they may, because Dan, we know there's no other state in the union that does what we do to meet the needs of Alabamians, which is why we've been able to register since January the 19th, 2015, 885,050 new voters. That's why we now have 3,335,659 voters in Alabama. Both those numbers are unprecedented and unparalleled in the history of the state. And when we show that we've got record attendance at the polls, when people are casting their ballot for the candidate of their choice, you can have your own opinion, but you can't have your own facts. And the facts support us.
How many of the people that you've registered, did you have to go in and give them a free ID and actually go to them and make that happen for them?
Dan, it hadn't been as many as one would expect, which is one of the reasons why we're so comfortable with our position. Mm-hmm. It's been around, it's been less than 15,000 since the law went into effect. But the reason that doesn't matter is because we have more than 3.7 million Alabamians that actually have driver's licenses that mm-hmm. are provided from the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. We have more people with driver's license in the state than we actually have registered voters. And so when you have the total number being what it is, and the fact that we have a number of identification cards that are available for people to utilize in this particular effort, whether it's a student ID, a government ID, the driver's license, the non-driver ID, the voter card we produce for free, your military ID, your tribal ID, your passport. Dan, no other state in the union gives people the flexibility that we do when it comes to casting your ballot for the candidate of your choice.
So the audience will kind of know the good work that you do and also the links that you go to get these IDs. When someone needed an ID, tell the process of what you would do. You had
the
state.
Yes, sir. Look, brother, this is the one that broke the back of the people that brought the lawsuit. The plaintiffs mm-hmm. were just completely destroyed when this happened. We had a situation where an individual said they wanted an ID. Well, we went to their home to give them an ID down in Mobile. And we had done that for numerous people around the state, and we'll continue to do that. If somebody can't go to the Board Registrar's office, which is open every day, if they can't go to where our mobile unit is, and we go to all 67 counties at least one time a year, if they can't go to one of the festivals that we visit, which are, you know, high energy, enthusiastic events that occur, like the Peanut Festival, the Rattlesnake Rodeo, the Magic City Classic. If they can't go to those things and they say, look, I can't get out, don't have transportation, we'll go to their homes. Well, now this one would irritate you, but it's the one that broke the back of the plaintiff, because we went to Mobile to this lady's house to give her the ID. when my team members, two of them went in there, because we always send two together when they go to someone's home for obvious reasons. They went in there. There was a lawyer from the NAACP that was sitting in her house with her. Now, when they came back and told me about that, it irritated me to no end, because she said she couldn't get out and go get an ID. But that lawyer from the NAACP could have taken her in to the courthouse and gotten her an ID. They just wanted to see if we'd come and what we'd do. But when we went to her house and gave her an ID, the judge said, look, anybody that wants an ID in the state of Alabama, all they have to do is ask for one, and they'll be given one. So that was the end of the show, my friend.
John, you do great work, my friend, and I'm really proud that you're our Secretary of State. This, I've known a lot of Secretary of State. Several of them have been very good friends of mine, including you, I hope. But you have taken the office to an entirely new level.
Well, Dan, I appreciate you saying that, and I know that we have been friends since I first got elected. I know when I was campaigning, you had another good friend that was running, and you told me, you said, now look, if you get the nomination and he doesn't, I'll be with you. And you were, and you have been. You've been so supportive of all we've tried to do. But I know the main reason is not because of my personal relationship, like, or friendship with you. It's because you see what we're doing, and you call it like you do, no matter who you're dealing with. You just call it like you see it, and that means a lot to me, because you don't hold back, my friend.
John, I appreciate you an awful lot. Doing a great job, my friend.
Thanks. Y'all take care.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, Secretary of State John Merrill, another home run on his part. That really was kind of a surprising. I talked to an attorney because I was going to go, you know, tell me about this. He had given me some bad information. I thought maybe it was the other side that had a particular attorney. But this is a knock it out of the park type deal. When a judge says, we're just dropping this thing, you don't have a case at all, there's nowhere else you can go.
Well, and when I first heard about the ID laws, my first reaction was, yeah, there might be something to this, that it could suppress the vote. But then when I saw all the details of, we will come to your house, we will allow all these different forms of ID, like we will provide the ID if you don't have one for free. It was okay. That's not voter suppression. It's just not.
It really isn't.
And then Doug Jones won.
No, so with a record vote.
Right. So, no, there isn't voter suppression. Oh, my goodness.
That's what everybody has to yell out, that something's wrong. Well, it's not fair.
And fighting past battles. And that's where I had that knee-jerk reaction. This might be voter suppression, because there is a history of that in the state. But it is a new day in many ways.
Absolutely.
So, goodness.
272-9228. Reminder, first-time callers, need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the Fresh Market gift card, $50. And also, we're doing the Sweet Creek Farm Market. Not a lot of people in there, so just give us a call and say something, and then ask to be put in for the drawing. Missouri governor. Man. We got some governor problems kind of going on here.
Oh, wow.
This is the Missouri governor, and had an affair. Lady says blackmail, and oh man, let's towards the end of this. This is actually a recorded conversation of her. You're going to be kind of amazed.
The governor of Missouri is rejecting allegations of blackmail this morning after admitting he cheated on his wife. Republican Eric Greitens says the affair happened before his election. The woman's ex-husband tells our St. Louis affiliate, that's KMOV, the governor threatened to reveal her identity. Greitens' lawyer says, well, that claim is just false.
And they spent a year investigating this. Our affiliate KMOV says the unnamed woman involved in the affair was the governor's hairdresser, and that her now ex-husband was the one who exposed the sexual encounter and alleged blackmail, which included nude photographs.
Eric Greitens.
Hours after his State of the State address Wednesday night, Missouri first-term Republican governor and former Navy SEAL Eric Greitens admitted he was unfaithful to his wife. Recordings obtained by our St. Louis affiliate KMOV, which CBS News has not independently verified, appear to show the unnamed woman detailing her consensual sexual encounter with the governor to her then-husband only days after it happened.
I'll make you feel better. I'll make you feel good. Come downstairs. I want to show you how to do a proper pull-up. and I knew that he was being sexual, and I still let him. Let me use some sort of tape, I don't know what it was, and taped my hands to these rings, and then put a blindfold on me. And he stepped back, and I saw a flash through the blindfold, and he said, "You're never going to mention my name, otherwise this picture will be everywhere."
He was going to tape my hands?
There was a blindfold involved, too? It's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Dad. We could revisit this on my show if you like.
And these are the days of our lives.
Well, and I have this song queued up for the break. I didn't know we were going to this topic when I queued it up, but it's the philosopher of soul, Johnny Taylor, who's making love.
Okay. Let's do the second part so we have guests for the studio here. Yeah.
I am a very proud husband and father.
The governor's affair was exposed by the now ex-husband of the woman involved. KMOV chose to protect his identity.
I think it's as bad as it gets when somebody takes advantage of somebody.
Our First Lady and my wife, Sheena Greitens.
Shortly after the report aired, Governor Greitens and his wife, Sheena, released a joint statement saying, "Before Eric was elected governor, there was a time when he was unfaithful in our marriage. Eric took responsibility." But despite the governor's admission, his attorney says the blackmail accusation is a lie, saying the outrageous claims of improper conduct regarding these almost 3-year-ago events are false.
Governor Greitens says his wife has forgiven him and they've emerged stronger. Meanwhile, at least one member of the Missouri State Senate is already calling for his resignation.
I don't think that one's going to go away. That one's going to stick. Justin, hang on. Coming back to you right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Brubaker Motors, it's winter. Oh, the weather outside may be frightful, but the deals inside here are delightful. Besides, it will be soon very warm. Amelia Earhart said, "The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is mere tenacity." So be tenacious this month and come on down to Brubaker Motors for a luxury Infiniti, the QX30 subcompact SUV, or its opposite, the QX80, big enough to carry just about anything you want to carry or pull in style. Our Prattville and Montgomery Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram stores, along with Fiat in Montgomery, trucks, 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 Jeeps, 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 lots of Pacifica minivans, Dodge Chargers, and Challengers, all at the right price. Or Kia, the value proposition, and the 2 years in a row J.D. Power's initial quality renter. Now with the 365 horsepower Stinger sedan arriving now in our showroom. The fantastic SUVs, the Sorento with the third row seating, and the compact Sportage SUV, or the value price Forte sedan. All this and great service and parts only at Brubaker Motors.
Mr. Sandman.
Happy New Year! 2018 is bringing a lot of changes to the mattress industry, and Mr. Sandman must liquidate hundreds of fabulous mattresses from Serta, Beautyrest, Restonic, Jameson, and other factories to make room for new models. Because I actually stock hundreds of mattresses, when changes take place, Mr. Sandman has to wheel and deal to clear warehouse and floor space. We are also overstocked with adjustable bases, beds, and luxurious pillows. We still have a few sets left over from our fire sale for you serious bargain hunters. Our premium sets include Talalay Latex, Hybrids, and of course, numerous memory foam mattresses. We stock twins, fulls, queen, and king sets, and we'll sell odd box springs and mismatched sets. I will attend several shows in January to select my 2018 lineup, so I really need to liquidate much of my inventory fast. No interest financing and delivery are available. With around 90 models to choose from, amazing discount prices, and excellent customer service, it's a no-brainer to visit us in Montgomery or Millbrook for your mattress and headboard needs. Mr. Sandman Mattress Superstores.
Accidents come in all sizes, from the little parking lot ding in your door, to the next-door neighbor's kid and his skateboard, to the full-blown uh-oh in traffic. Precision Body and Paint can handle all of your...
Precision Body and Paint has been repairing dings, scrapes, and crashes in the River Region since 1986. They pride themselves on quality, affordable auto body repair. They fix your vehicle right the first time. Precision's technicians have years of experience, and their goal is 100% customer satisfaction. Remember, if you are in an accident, it's your choice which collision repair facility repairs your car. Insist on Precision Body and Paint. 4245 Atlanta Highway. Estimates are free, and Precision Body and Paint works with all insurance companies. They handle collision repair, auto glass and mirror repair, hail damage, or body trim repair. So, if you have a... or even a little door ding, call Precision Body and Paint at 277-2080. Like them on Facebook. Remember, Precision Body and Paint won't sleep until your car is perfect.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. That's where we are on a Thursday. Justin has been very, very patient with us. So let's go to Justin. Justin, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, man.
How are you, Justin?
I'm good. I just had a question.
Please.
Not long ago, I heard they were trying to restore voting rights for felons. And I was wondering if what you guys just had on the air had anything to do with that.
No. Well, other than the governor may end up to be a felon here. No, in Alabama, we don't do what they do in Virginia. Virginia did, the governor did a unilateral decision and decided to basically, under the concept of pardons, is basically bring in a lot of ex-cons into the voting rolls. And what he actually did is he went, these people who had gotten out, and they were on either parole or EOS, which is end of sentence, and he contacted them and got them to register to vote.
Okay.
That was Virginia. Alabama does not, thank God, do that.
I gotcha. Yeah, I was just confused.
Justin, thanks for the telephone call.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Let me bring in a good friend to the show, someone who's been here a lot but hadn't been here recently.
Howdy, howdy, Dan.
Chandler Chamberlain. Welcome back, my dear. First of all, let me play this piece on in Elmore County, limited self-governance, and you kind of got this going here. Let's listen in.
Well, new at 10 tonight, the Elmore County Commission has voted to get the Limited Self-Governance Act back on the ballot in November. That referendum originally drew a lot of pushback from residents who lived in rural areas when it passed back in 2014. Now voters will have a chance to repeal it.
3.5 years, that's how long Shanna Chamblee has been putting in work.
I gained 2,600 signatures on petition, going door to door.
Her mission, repeal the Limited Self-Governance Act. The referendum passed narrowly by only 183 votes back in 2014.
So many people were misinformed and misinterpreted what it had meant on the ballot.
The act gave Elmore County Commission power to pass resolutions dealing with issues such as animal control and litter.
I live out in the country in the rural areas of the county for a reason, and it was to stay away from homeowners association type rules or city-like ordinances.
When we hear the voices of citizens in this capacity, we felt it was very important.
The commission voted unanimously this week to approve a referendum election during the November 6th election on the repeal of the act. Chairman Troy Stubbs says it made the most sense given that no new ordinances have been put on the books.
As sits now, we have no intention of doing anything with this power. However, we cannot guarantee what a future county commission may do.
Chamblee sees this as the first step in the right direction.
This is major. We don't need this government overreach.
Chamblee says in the meantime, the focus for her and those who support the repeal is making sure that everyone is informed and educated about this issue.
In Elmore County, among 20 counties in Alabama where county commissions do have limited self-governance.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That was some serious hard work, my dear.
It has been. My first appearance here on your program was due to the Limited Self-Governance Act.
I remember that. So when will this be on the ballot?
This will be on the ballot in the general election in November.
Now, is it going back to everybody in the county votes or only the people outside of the municipality?
Only the people in the unincorporated areas. Now, we had some issues last time when this did originally pass where some people had gotten the wrong ballots. And I personally went to the registrar's office and got several people's names that notified me changed to be listed correctly, whether they were incorporated or unincorporated.
So what type of feedback did you get from the rural community in Elmore County about this piece of legislation?
Oh, it's been highly supportive of repeal. Many people didn't understand what they were voting on.
Mm-hmm.
Some people misinterpreted the language. It was sketchy at best, the way that it was worded on the ballot. Many people saw limited in governance and assumed...
They go, this is limited government.
Assumed that they were voting for limited government. And I've had quite a few people voice that to me. And many other people, even people that knowingly voted yes for it, didn't realize that there was no higher authority to appeal to and that any arbitrary ordinance could be set by this commission or any commission going forward.
Why did the commission vote on a unanimous basis on this thing?
Well, first of all, there was the voice and the power behind the petition of the 2,600 signatures. But aside from that, when we all ran, I ran at the same time they did and lost mm-hmm. in the runoff. They all ran on the platform. Their campaign promise was that they were going to work to repeal this. So they were all equally as passionate as I was at the time that I ran, and this is a campaign promise kept by our current commission.
How difficult was it to get the signatures?
It wasn't too hard. We did do some door-to-door. She cut me off there in the interview. A lot of them were also gained from stores that sponsored my petition and left it out on the counter, and their clerks would encourage people to sign. And reach out through the Wetumpka Tea Party and come in here on your show and getting the word out, and then people would contact me and ask me to meet them somewhere so that they could sign.
Well, great job. Anything that limits government, we are all for, and I absolutely agree. I remember our conversation about this, is that it's kind of like the We Love Little Kittens topic or headline on a bill when it's really about tax increases. They mislabel these things where you think you're voting on one thing and you're really getting something completely different.
Right. Coming up next month, Elmore County will have been established for 152 years. We've gone 152 years without having this overreach of government regulating our private property in the rural areas of the county. Why do we need it now?
When is this going to be on the ballot?
This will be on the ballot in November, the general election.
Excellent. Now, you brought a guest with you today because you have a secondary hat that you need to put on.
Secondary? How many hats do I wear?
Really, you have an Indian bonnet is what you've got somebody.
Yes, I brought along my now boss, Sean Grijalva, with U.S. Term Limits.
Sean, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hello, hello. How's everything?
Tell me about U.S. Term Limits.
Well, we are a grassroots organization across the country. We are dedicated towards putting term limits in for Congress and Senate through the Article 5 process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so explain to the audience what that means.
Right. So what we do is we go to state legislatures all across the country, and we get them to pass a resolution stating that they want to go to a constitutional amendment convention specific to one subject only, and that is term limits for Congress and Senate. And today we went to the Alabama State House. They went ahead and voted on it, and it has passed the State House. So we go to the Senate next.
Now, you said something that is kind of an interesting point on the Article 5. This limits it completely to this one topic.
Correct. This is a single topic only.
Okay. But is there an amendment process or an added process once you get to the convention that they can change or add something to it at that point?
No, sir. Once they're at the amendment convention itself, they're going to be restricted to one subject only.
How do you stop people from stacking the deck of those people who really, they say they want term limits, but they get there and they really don't want term limits. Who chooses the delegates?
The delegates are going to be chosen by the state legislatures. So even, you know, we've got a lot of work to do to convince a lot of states and their legislatures of this. But once we actually get to the selection process of finding who are going to be the delegates, we've got to, you know, stand firm and make sure that we're sending the kind of representation that we want to this convention to make sure that we've got people that accurately reflect our views. And that's going to be the responsibility of the legislature.
That's where I have my problem.
Okay.
As Shannon will tell you, these guys can be kind of sneaky. And what will happen is they'll present something one way, but they'll actually have a delegate that's going to be doing something else. It's actually going to be there to undermine your situation.
Mm. Well, and we...
I mean, just look at the makeup of the House and the Senate.
Well, and the biggest thing that I'll point to are going to be the electors that we send for... that actually submit our votes for the presidential election. You know, the people that actually submit our votes are very well known throughout the state. These are not, you know, random Joe Schmoes off the street. These are very well known.
But they're not selected by our House and Senate, though.
From the State House and this process will be a little different. They will need to be responsible and make sure that they pick someone like that. It's not just going to be Joe Schmoe off the street.
No. I'm not worried about Joe Schmoe.
Right.
I'm worried about a House or Senate member that has a vested interest in some other things that go, yeah, well, I'm going to put Timbuktu over here in there, and we know that this person's really not going to be voting in the way that they want.
Mm-hmm.
What was the vote, by the way, in the House?
Well, it was a voice vote, so we don't have...
Did you hear any noise?
Not a single one.
Okay.
So,
what's your time frame that this would happen?
We don't have a cutoff time frame. There's sometimes where, you know, we've got a year, 2 years, something like that. We don't have that. We just have to hit the threshold.
I thought this fell under the same rule that an amendment to the Constitution that once a state agrees, and if you don't get enough states, there's a time frame on it, and I believe it's 12 or 15 years.
If that would be on there, it would be after the convention itself. It wouldn't be prior to. Right now, we're just trying to essentially petition Congress. So we don't have a time limit going up at this point.
So where do we do our convention?
That'll be determined. That'll be determined.
Hey,
once
Joey,
we get that.
What do you say, Hawaii?
No, sure, yeah.
I want to be a delegate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down.
Shannon signed up. I like that. Have any other states done this?
We have 14 states that have previously passed Article 5 resolutions whose language included, not the exact same thing, but 14 have passed term limits included in the verbiage. As far as other states that have passed U.S. term limits specifically, we've got Florida. And hopefully, within some short time, we'll be able to add Alabama to that list.
How do you reconcile? Because I had the Fifth Amendment person on years ago. And they were kind of doing a Christmas tree type thing, and that's where I was getting worried that we're going to add too many ornaments. How do you reconcile that if you have 9 other states that have term limits in it plus something else, that your group gets included with that group?
Well, and we won't. We're not going to sponsor or really assist with any legislation that does not meet our very strict criteria. We have model resolution language.
Let me re-ask the question. So Alabama sends a delegation there for term limit. Arkansas sends a delegation there, term limits, and balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Can those two meet at the same convention?
No, sir.
Okay, so it has to be strictly term limit people.
Yes. This is going to be single issue only across the board. You know, anyone that were to suggest an amendment that was not related to term limits, they would be able to be recalled by their state legislature. They could be looking at charges including fraud, and certainly they would be dragged through the mud in the media because they would have been selected to do a job only to go there and undermine public trust.
So let me make sure I have this right. So only the states that are single issue term limits can meet at that convention, that those state delegates decide where that convention is going to be.
Well, okay, so let's back up one step. Once we reach our basic line, 34 states having signed on, that's the minimum.
But they all have to be single issue.
They all have to be single issue, okay, specific to term limits. Once those 34 pass, then all 50 states are going to be invited to send delegates. Now, right, whether or not they send them, that's an entirely different subject. But everyone will be invited to send delegates to this.
What do you think the odds of this happening within, say, 6 to 8 years?
6 to 8 years, I really believe that it could happen by then. You know, we have been in existence for 25 years now, pursuing various aspects, not just the Article 5 approach. We've been approaching Article 5 for 2 to 3 years now. And last year we passed Florida. This year, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Arizona, and Utah all look very favorable at this time. And we've got, different pushes in a total of 14 states, so 9 others outside of that. We've got a very aggressive schedule going on. I certainly hope that we are able to get this passed and get this moving within the next 5 years.
So the Senate would have to win when they go to the Senate?
We hope it'll be on Tuesday. In the House, it is Kerry Rich. In the Senate, Trip Pittman.
Okay. Two ends of the state there. I like that.
Yeah.
So you feel it'll come out of the Senate when?
We're hoping on Tuesday.
Then the governor has to sign it? Same veto process?
No. Actually, this is a resolution, not a bill, so the governor's not required to, but we're really hoping that the governor signs it.
So it's fait accompli is the point that the Senate passes it?
Correct.
Well, Sean, will you come back and give us an update on it?
Absolutely. Anytime, I would love to come back and speak to y'all.
I appreciate it awfully. Shanna, congratulations on what you got done in Elmore County.
Well, thank you so much, Dan. And I plan to pop in a few times and remind people between now and November of the importance of voting yes to repeal.
We have a lot of issues that you're kind of center point on that are coming in. I'd like to have you come back in to talk about those, particularly anything to do with firearms.
Oh, yes.
There we go.
Working on my constitutional carry bill this session.
There you go. What do you think of the church protection provision bill?
Honestly, I believe it's a feel-good bill. We are already able to protect ourselves in a church. There's nothing that stops us from carrying or protecting ourselves in a church now.
The training?
Actually, that is a misprint on what they put part of what was on last year's bill on the synopsis of this year's bill. If you open the bill and actually read it, the training portion is removed, to my understanding, unless it was placed back in since the last time I read it. We asked them to remove it last year. You cannot require a taxpayer-funded state agency or entity to train a private or religious organization's members for something, as they are a tax-exempt status organization.
That's interesting, because when I first saw that, I said, this didn't seem right here.
So that was in the bill last year, and I brought it to their attention, myself and my director of operations, Barry Cleland. We went in and had them remove that portion of it, and the bill that I have read this year still had that removed, as we had asked them to last year.
Who was carrying that bill?
Greer. Lynn Greer.
Okay. Gang, thank you so very much for dropping by. I hope I see both of you again soon. News Talk 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back after this break.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet, or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. The House votes to renew a foreign intelligence program known as FISA 702.
On this vote, the yeas are 256, the nays are 164. The bill is passed.
The Senate needs to vote as well, and there's a tweak now. The FBI would need a warrant to see any Americans' communications swept up in an investigation. President Trump complained on Twitter this morning the program may have been used to spy on his campaign, then tweeted later the program should be renewed. Some women are accusing the actor and director James Franco of sexually inappropriate behavior.
According to a report by the LA Times, four of the five women were his former acting students at the film school Franco founded and say Franco asked them to film extra scenes involving nudity and that when one of the actresses declined to appear topless, she was kicked off the shoot.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, a lawyer for Franco, denies the allegations and some colleagues are coming out in his defense as well. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. There's been a recent increase in pay, plus a $1,000 sign-on bonus for regional and over-the-road drivers. Visit WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. One more spring-like day before the Arctic Express rolls back into town soon. Today, mostly cloudy, high in the lower 70s. Scattered showers around from time to time. Showers becoming likely tonight, especially late tonight and tomorrow through midday. High tomorrow in the 50s during the morning, then 44 by the afternoon as temperatures fall and it becomes windy. Then much colder Friday night, overnight low temperature 30. Saturday's high 44, but the winds make it seem colder. 24 Sunday morning and Sunday's high barely in the low 40s. With all these weather changes, our weather app keeps you on top of the weather changes. Hourly forecast, 10-day forecast, current conditions, radar, future radar, and a lot more. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I want to thank Shannon and Sean for coming in. Keep an eye on this. I think it's a lot more complicated than the way it's being presented. But as I always say, we'll know in the fullness of time. After doing the governor, everything's kind of a letdown after that.
Yeah.
Man,
what is it about those types of scandals? It tickles the imagination in a bit.
You said tickles the imagination.
I did.
Let's see here. We got some, a lot of stuff here. There's one legislator who's doing a House bill to, when a Senate special election happens, he's put some kind of conditions on here. Let's listen in.
After Doug Jones' U.S. Senate victory in a special election, a new bill could do away with ever seeing another special election here in Alabama. Representative Steve Klaus is pushing a bill which would have any special election for the U.S. Senate to be held during the next available general election. Klaus says the bill would clear up some confusion and save the state a lot of money.
This bill has nothing to do with the personalities in the race. It has everything to do with the cost. And I pre-filed this bill back on August the 25th. So this had nothing to do with anything going on with the personalities.
That bill has passed through committee today. It could be on the House floor for a full vote in the near future.
Okay, so here's basically what happens. Is that if a special election for a open U.S. Senate seat would have to happen during a general election, Now, this is what I don't like when legislators write pieces of legislation. They don't kind of think through some of the process. So, what if the vacancy happens after the normal primary? Then do you make the general election a primary? And do kind of what we did with the GoPro that we did on the last one? And if you don't do it that way, then you have to wait to the next general election after that? Because what will happen is these people will write bills and they'll say it shall take place during the general election. And they won't think through, well, what if somebody becomes vacant from a point of a primary and or just anywhere near the primary, 60 days before the primary? That's a big window. So that would be basically March and March, April, May, June. So that'd be at the end of March. If anything happened after that day, you wouldn't be able to get in on that ballot. And I'm worried about the way they write these things.
What is his only concern there? Wasn't
was saving money.
It's saving money. Okay. That's
his whole notion. If we were to do all these elections at the same time, then we'll save all this money.
Sure.
But if you do the election and you make your runoff the primary for the Senate during a regular either gubernatorial or presidential race, then it's kind of skewed because you may have some counties that don't have anybody that's there. You may have some that have very highly contested races, hence what happened in Montgomery. You had the John Knight race, and you had a pretty big turnout there. You can go through and look at the John Knight boxes and look at the turnout, and it's much higher, much higher. So this is, you know, and I like where he's going with it, but don't lock yourself into this thing where you can't get out of it and you're creating another problem. Give the governor the flexibility, and maybe, you know, the governor needs to say, okay, well, I hear what you're saying, because the governor originally did it just like he wanted it to be done. And then Governor Ivey changed it because she wanted it to be faster for some reason. Now, I think that was definitely to Luther Strange's disadvantage. I think Luther Strange, having been there, been proven, and particularly after kind of going through the Kay Ivey time period, I think he would have probably done well in a regular stand-up gubernatorial race, considering who the players are going to be. I don't think Roy Moore would have done well. And I'm not sure that Mo Brooks would have run. I know Trent Pittman would have run because he wasn't going to seek re-election. I'm not sure what other people would have been running. You probably wouldn't have had as many lowball players as you did last time, because a standard gubernatorial race is a you know, primary runoff general election race is a different animal. You have a lot more voters.
Oh, yes.
And Roy Moore would not have won that, in my humble opinion. Newstone 93.1, Dan Moore Show will be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave?
Has joined the conference.
Couple of important things to go over today. First, someone parked in my space again. But don't worry, I've had you towed and you're fired. Oh, also, we posted record profits and I got a nice bonus. But sadly, nothing left for you guys. Okay, gotta go.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
HGTV's Eric Stromer.
Hey, everybody, this is Eric Stromer, and I want you to make sure to listen to House Does with Dale. That's my boy down there in Alabama, and if you don't listen, I'm going to get real, real mad at y'all.
You never know who Dale will talk to unless you listen.
Make sure you tune in each and every week
where I'm going to come after all of you with a 2x4.
1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out.
House Studs with Bobby T and Dell Johnson. Saturday mornings at 10 on News Talk 93.1 WACV. The voice of Montgomery.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
In a little cafe, just the other side of the border. She was sitting there giving me looks that made my mouth water. So I started walking her way. She belonged to Batman Jose.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Two seven two nine two two eight. That's where we are. Let's go to the phones. Go to Red Tide. Red Tide, welcome aboard.
Wow, what a nice warm day. We better enjoy it. The last one for a while, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, it's gonna get nippy here, my friend.
Oh, and it felt so good last night. It was warmer outside than it was in my house.
Yeah, really.
I have a comment, and then I have a question I'd like to ask you.
Go.
My comment is, I would like to make positive note of Catherine Deneuve, the French actress.
Yeah, what about
her? She has come out on the side of men, basically.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah, and she is really being slammed like hell for her, but the statement she made on Twitter and all this was so sensible. And, you know, these women just have to say no. And some of the sexual harassment stuff that came out this morning is just beyond ridiculous. That stuff about Michael Douglas and all that, it's gotten way out of control. And it's becoming destructive to our society. It's just a problem that's not there. Can I ask you about this unusual situation with the bond market and the... bonds going up in value, and the Chinese not wanting to buy bonds anymore. What's your impression of things going on?
Okay, what happens is you have a finite amount of bonds that are out there, particularly in the U.S. intermediate bond market. And when the Chinese say they're not going to buy bonds, then to incentivize other people from buying bonds, you have to have the yield go up. And to have the yield go up, you have to have the basis of the bond go down. So, for example, if a par bond 100 has a 6% yield, then for you to raise it to 8%, you need to change that bond from $100 and it goes down to $98 to make up for the 2% difference.
Gotcha. And what is a, quote, intermediate bond?
10 years.
10 years. Otherwise, they are 30-year or
no,
even more?
No, you've got, you have the one-year bond, you have a two-year bond, you have a 10-year bond, you have 15 and 30. And what they do is we were shortening the duration, and then when the interest rates got real low, we went to very long durations. So these people that are holding a whole bunch of long bonds are going to get kind of smacked around on this one.
Wow, and as far as calling a note, whenever a bond matures, you can call it or you can reinvest. Is that how it works?
Well, you call it, and then you can take the money that's called, and then you can go reinvest it.
Yeah, okay.
But now remember, a bond, they're different type of callable bonds. A U.S. bond or a 10-year bond or, there are all sorts of different types. But those are not callable bonds. Those are replacement bonds or they pay at maturity.
Gotcha. Okay. So obviously China and so many people have bought a potpourri of all these different devices.
And China uses as their basket for their currency, one of the components of that is U.S. bonds, which is considered the most stable, the gold standard of fixed income investments.
And it has stayed that way, even through the financial crisis?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Let me tell you, staying that way is one thing. What people are willing to pay for it is something different. When you go back and you look at 2008, for example, if you had a U.S. bond that was paying 2%, you weren't going anywhere with that. Nobody was going to buy your bond from you if you wanted to sell it. So you had to increase the rate to a 3%, which meant you had to drop your underlying rate and take it on the chin.
Okay.
Did that make sense?
Yes, it does, because it's all got to be evened out some way, one way or the other.
Yep. The higher their interest rates go down, the underlying value of the bond goes down.
Wow. Very interesting. Thank you for the international bond education, sir. And always enjoy the show. And John Merrill and all these guys are great.
They are indeed. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, the bond market. People tell me that all the time. They'll go, well, how do bonds go down? And I go, because interest rates go up, and you have to get your underlying value of the bond to match what current interest rates are, or you don't have a market for your bond. And always the best way to do that is just hang on to it. Yeah, you have treasury bills, treasury notes, long-term bonds.
And there are different year lengths of that.
Yeah. Notes are 5 years and under. Bills are 10 years.
I almost feel like, because I've heard you talk about it, I've read a little bit, but I feel like I won't ever understand that stuff unless I do, in some way, play with it. Mm-hmm. I actually get involved. And I wish there was almost a way we could teach, like kids in high school, have some sort of game or something, maybe it exists, where you would teach them sort of how to work and play in the stock market.
There actually is something. There's called the Investors Competition. And what you do is you go in and you are given a certain amount of money, call it $100,000, and then you make investment choices. And then what they do is they rank you with everybody that's out there, and they keep a track of all your trades and everything. You pay them a certain amount of money, and you learn how to do trades, you learn how to pick stocks and things like that. It used to be like $50 to do that. I'm not sure
that's
what it is now. No, it's not at all for what you get and access into the program that you get. Because you can go in and put AAPL 100 shares and you're buying Apple and you have to sell it. And
well, we didn't have that at Catholic. We studied theology, which was great. It's done me a world of help. But
I was very fortunate. I bought my first share of stock when I was, I think I was 13 or 14 years old.
Wow.
Had a paper route and got my shares. Got my money together, and my mother went and bought me a share of some stock, and I kept it for 40 years. It was amazing what that thing did. Just put it in a book, never look back at it. It split like 10 times.
Wow.
Yeah. That was my $60 investment, let's just say, turned out pretty good out there. And that's really kind of what the story behind everything is, that you know, buy something good quality, hang on to it, and don't jump around in the market, or dollar cost average, or split the difference, which is what you should have done with Bitcoin.
Yes.
It's split the difference is a great strategy. There's I need to go find that investment book that was my kind of guiding light for me when I was up in higher teens than this. Alabama Legislature budget and bills. No, we're out of time. My gosh.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun. We'll be back right after this.